Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Hi, friends, and welcome to our St. Andrew's podcast. This is our fourth episode of a great series that we've been in during the month of January about our motto and about identity in Christ. And so I'm excited to wrap up this series together. And as always, I'm excited to be in studio with my friend, Pastor D.A. Bennett. How are you doing today?
I am good, Pastor Stephanie. I'm sitting here, you said the word episode, and I'm like, I feel like this is part of a Star Wars thing, you know, episode whatever.
Right, so, exactly. You know,
if we had that kind of listenership, viewership, man, we would be big time.
It's the return of the pastor. That's what it is. I know, it's pretty cool. So we have done this series where we've been breaking apart the motto, which has been really fun.
It's been absolutely fun and I hope informative for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. I really enjoyed last week about baptism. I thought that was really eye-opening, and especially how we live differently because we are set apart through baptism. And I loved what you had to say about that, so I'm excited to hear what you have to say this week. But friends, I'm sure you could say the motto with me by now, because that is the goal.
That's right.
That we would all know the motto by heart, which is, I am a minister called by God. Gifted by the Holy Spirit, ordained through baptism, I am a minister and I offer my gifts in service to Christ. Yes, there it is right there. I love it. And so as we kind of recap what we've done and talking about what it means to be a minister, in that first week we talked about the difference between being a pastor and a minister, that we are all called to be ministers. Right. That's who we are. And again, talking about this idea of identity, you know, it's interesting to me that lots of people spend lots of years trying to figure out who they are.
Right.
You know? And I am...
And sometimes I forget.
I know, you know, I do too.
Sometimes I forget.
Yeah, well, and sometimes I think we wake up some days and we think, man, I don't feel like myself, you know? I don't feel like who I am. And so we have to remind ourselves. And, you know, I just celebrated not a milestone birthday, but an almost milestone
milestone birthday.
Yeah, and I was thinking about, you know, the last...
Do you want to tell us what that milestone is?
You're
going to slide right past that if I don't ask you.
I know, exactly. Yes, 39.
That's what I thought.
39 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, 30s have been good.
Yes.
I like the 30s.
When I turned 40, somebody said, oh, you're going to love your 40s. I said, they're really going to have to rock because my 30s were awesome.
Were awesome. Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'm excited to see what the next, you know, decade brings. But I was thinking about just when you hit almost 40, it's kind of a... Like, whoa.
It's like I'm a grown up now.
Yeah. Like I better get started with that whole adulting thing. And, but I was thinking about how I have felt differently over the years. You know, you think about who you were as a kid and who you were as a teenager and who you were as a young adult and now who I am as a not young adult.
Right.
And just how, but knowing who you are is really important because it shapes and affects everything about yourself. And as Christians, if we are claimed by Christ, that dictates everything.
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes that I've heard attributed to the psychologist, you know, Carl Jung.
Oh, yes.
Was, he said, if you don't know who you are, the world will tell you who you are.
Ooh,
and that's one reason I think it's so important for us to know our identity, particularly.
Yeah.
That's a hard word
that's
for
a
me
good,
to say.
That's a good word, yeah.
particularly for our identity and relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
That if we really do not know, if we are not confident of who we are in Christ, then the world's going to tell us this is who you are. And the world's not always nice in their assessment of who we are.
That's exactly right. And they're not always accurate either.
Right.
Right? So interesting as we continue to ponder this, but we're going to look at the final... statement in this motto about being a minister and offering our gifts in service to Christ. You know, I like this part of the motto because it really is the action statement.
Yeah.
You know, the other parts are, this is who I am. And now this is what I do.
Yes.
You know, because of who I am.
Because of who I am. Yeah,
this is what
this
I do.
Is how I'm
yeah.
gonna do this.
And I love that because they naturally go together. So I was hoping you might tell us why it's so important to offer our gifts in service to Christ. Seems like an easy question, but it's a deep question.
It is. I agree. I'm sitting here thinking that's such an easy question to answer, but there could also be a lot of answers, and they're all important. One of the first things I thought recently in worship, I was preaching on Moses having to identify people to be leaders.
Yes.
In the church.
Right.
And as a part of that, he gives a list of criteria, or actually it's not Moses, it's his father-in-law, Jethro, that gives Moses and said, here's what you need to pick. You need to pick capable people. In other words, they have to have this ability and they need to be honest and they need to be God-fearing and they need to hate bribes.
Yes.
But the last one of that criteria is so important. He said, and they need to be available to do what you're asking them
to
do.
Available. Seems like a no-brainer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so when we think, okay, I'm a minister, I'm called by God, and I'm gifted by the Holy Spirit. We look in the New Testament at what James said, and he said, you know, your faith without works
is dead.
And so the call, the gifts, the ordination, all those things are dead if they're not used.
Right.
And when I think about that, I have the image of a car battery, and I'm not Mr. Goodwrench. I'm not a real mechanical person.
Yes.
But I know you can have a perfectly good battery in your car.
Yeah.
And if your car sits there and you never drive it and it just sits there collecting dust, then pretty soon, if you want to use it, your first thought is the battery still
alive? Battery dead. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's what it's like. We can have all this stuff, but if we don't use it, we're just like a car sitting in a garage or in a driveway that never gets driven. And when we finally want it, it's not there.
That is
it does
so
not have the power.
Good. Oh my gosh, that's such a good analogy. I love that. And so why do you think that it's sometimes hard for us to figure out where to begin? You know, as Christians, we're like, I'm excited, I'm called, I'm a minister, I'm ordained, baptized, and I have no idea what I'm supposed to do now.
I'm ready, Jesus. Sign me up.
Exactly.
Put me in, coach.
Right, exactly. And then when we're faced with that moment of, oh my gosh, I have to decide what, you know, how I'm going to offer my gifts and service to Christ, a lot of us just really shy away from that opportunity.
There's a couple of different things that come to mind when I think about this. One of the statements that I've tried to use in my life, and I was thinking this, like, wow, I hadn't used this in a long time, so this may sound new to people, is always tell people, God's not concerned about our ability or our disability.
Uh-huh.
God wants our availability.
Oh, that's good.
God's not concerned about our ability.
Yeah.
We're gifted by the Holy Spirit. God gave these gifts to us. He knows what we can do.
Yes.
And our disabilities, God's not worried about that because he's probably not going to ask us to do something that he knows he hasn't gifted us for. And so when I think of that phrase, you know, and again, what God wants is our availability to use those gifts. I think a lot of people are crippled from using their gifts, from being active in ministry, because they're concerned about their disabilities.
Yes, that's so true.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've seen that in people. I've seen that in people.
Absolutely.
And sometimes in ministry, you know, as people that are in a full-time vocation in a church, it's like somebody needs to do this. And it's not me. I can't do this. For me, that usually comes in the area of internet technology and all those kind of things. It's like, let me push the button and it worked. And I'm good, because those just aren't things I need to do. Of course, again, that's the beauty of all of us being gifted, is there are other people that are gifted in that. And some pastors will call, how do you do this? I said, well, I say, hey, Brittany, I need you to do this
for me. We know the right people to ask.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I think, you know, when people don't know where to begin, I would say, don't look at your disability.
Right.
Don't look at what you can't do. Look at your ability. What can I do? But then I think there's something more than that. And what I would say is, ask yourself this question: what am I passionate about?
Yes.
If we are doing something just because somebody needs to do it, and we're not passionate about it, then we're not really putting our whole selves into it the way we should. And so if someone says, well, I'm not even sure what my abilities are, what are you passionate about?
Yeah.
you know, what is it that gives you joy? What is it that excites you that you can't wait
to do? To do, right.
And somewhere between our abilities that we offer, make available to God, and our passions for what we want to do. Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to begin. Do you have some other thoughts on that?
I just think that's fantastic. I bear witness to that in my own life that, you know, there are certain things that I love to do that I wake up in the morning and I think, man, this is going to get me out of bed because I'm excited to do it. And the thing I would encourage listeners as we're talking about this is don't think that anything that you are passionate about is unworthy of that passion.
That's a good word.
You know, because, I mean, I think a lot of us think, well, you know, I love numbers. I love crunching numbers. Like, I want to get out of bed and crunch numbers, which is not me at all.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't understand that. That would be my husband, yes, which I am so grateful for.
Too.
That's right, exactly. But those are gifts that God has given to people.
Right.
And those are passions that can be used for His glory. And, you know, there is no passion when it comes from the heart of God that is unworthy.
Yeah.
So
one of the things I can think of as a ministry we have here at St. Andrews is our Upward Basketball and Cheer. And every year, if I had a son playing, I loved Upward. I was passionate about it. Let's go play basketball. I loved being around the boys, you know, and helping them to learn some things and watching them improve.
Yeah.
But whenever my younger son was no longer eligible to play basketball, my passion for that kind of went away.
Sure.
Because my passion wasn't really the basketball, it was my son.
It was your family, right.
And it was okay for me to say, you know what, there are other dads, other moms that can do this kind of thing. The next year when my son didn't play, I actually refereed a few games because I was passionate about the ministry and wanted it to succeed.
Right, so, right, exactly. And I think it's good for us, too, to remember that when we're doing something out of obligation, we're probably keeping someone who is passionate about it from doing it.
We can, absolutely.
And sometimes we can do that, and I think that that's a good word. But the opposite side of that is true. If you are not offering your gifts and service to Christ in the areas that He has given you passion about, then we're doing a disservice, you know, to the community, to the family of faith, to the world. And so we really do need to step up and do those things.
I think that's when we begin to get disillusioned about ministry and begin to get burned out in ministry.
Yeah.
You know, what are you passionate about? And your passion may change, but when I am able to operate out of an area of passion, I have so much energy. I'm spiritually much more vibrant.
Yes.
I'm much more attuned to, God, what are we going to do?
Yes, exactly.
And if it's like, God, why do we have to do?
Right,
you know, when I'm passionate about, God, what are we going to do?
What do we get to do? Yeah.
Why are we doing this?
Right. I think that that's a really good word as well. So so here's the thing, because I think a lot of times too, like we've already kind of touched on, that people have a little bit of a hard time identifying what their gifts are. And so you had said, you know, look at what you're passionate about.
Right.
Look at the places that God has gifted you in. But what are some other ways that people can go about identifying the gifts God has given to them and how they can offer those?
Right. One of the things that I remember is back when we were talking about gifted by the Holy Spirit, one of the things I said was a lot of times we discover what our gifts are in the context of doing ministry.
Right, exactly.
You know, and the probably most frequently used example of that is somebody said, well, I don't want to teach children's Sunday school because I can't teach, and they've never tried to teach,
right.
But maybe they make that commitment because they feel a passion that children need to be taught, and they discover, oh, I am gifted to do this. And so I think it's very important that we put ourselves out there to do that. Now, one of the things about this motto is the last part where it says, I offer my gifts in service to Christ. So here's the risk. When I offer myself to Christ to be used by Him, it's probably a pretty good chance at some point He's going to push me out of my comfort zone.
Right, exactly.
That He is going to ask me to do something, and my first response is, I don't have that gift.
Right.
And if I've listened to this podcast, my second response is, I don't have that passion.
Right, right.
But the reality is, when I offer myself to Christ to be used of Him for whatever He wants to do, then that means I don't get to decide where he sends me. I don't get to decide when he's going to use me.
Yeah.
I offer myself to him. I avail myself to him.
Yes.
And so he gets to say, well, good, this is where we're going to go, and this is when we're going to do this.
Uh-huh.
And one of the traditional prayers we have in the United Methodist Church is from the covenant renewal service that John Wesley started back in the 18th century.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of that prayer, it rings so true for me.
Mm.
And I probably, you know, could quote this wrong. So I'm just going to say, in essence, what it says is there's some task that Christ calls us to do, and it really fits our inclinations and our personality and our passions. But there are other things Christ calls us to do that seem to be in direct contradiction to our passions and our interests and our inclinations.
That's so true.
and Wesley goes on to say, some of the things that Christ asks us to do are easy.
Yeah.
Other things Christ asks us to do are not easy at all. And so I think to learn through the context of ministry, you know, hey, this is what I'm good at. This is how God has created me as an individual.
Yeah.
This is what I'm willing to offer, is to realize if I truly offer myself, if I'm truly listening to the Holy Spirit, then it may not go the way I thought it was going to go.
Exactly.
And God may ask a lot more from me than I thought. Maybe sometimes God doesn't ask as much from me as I thought maybe God was asking.
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
What about you?
Yeah, you know, I agree with everything that you're saying. I think we also need to know, too, that when we surrender our lives to Christ, and really I feel like offering my gifts in service to Christ is a surrendering to him, you know?
Sure.
That I, just like you're saying, I allow him to determine the outcome and the process. And in doing that, there's a surrendering of our own will that has to happen, which is really important. And we also have to let go what I like to call, it's not really my original thing, I think it was Thomas Merton that actually said it, but it's where you let go of the fruit. So when you offer your gifts and service to Christ, it should bear fruit, right?
Right.
So it's going to have bear fruit in your life and the lives of people around you. But a lot of times we like to hold on to that. We like to determine how people take our gifts. You know, we want people to love them. We want people to lift us up. We want people to encourage us. And we want people to say how great we are and how great our gifts are. And really what God is calling us to do is to let go of that so that he can fully use it for his glory. And that's really hard because we have to basically say, okay, God, I'm going to offer these gifts to you, and whatever you choose to do with them is completely up to you. I'm going to take my hands off of it so that you can have full reign. But that's not our natural inclination.
You know? No, and I think that's something that we mature in as we mature in our relationship with Christ. I think a lot of times when I was younger, I experienced this myself. I saw it in other people.
Yeah.
Was I offered my gifts and service to Christ, but I sure wanted to look good.
Right.
You know?
I know, right?
I wanted to offer my gifts so that I came out being pretty
looking
awesome.
Looking pretty great, yeah.
And,
right.
You know, and that, you know, The love of God is such that I think he did use me, but he matured me to know, hey, dude, this isn't about you.
It's not about you. Exactly.
You know, if people like you or don't like you, this is about me. So you just do what I've asked you to do.
Yeah.
Make yourself available.
Exactly.
And as we mature, it's like, God, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's so true.
It's nice to get a compliment every now and then, but I don't do this for a pat on the back.
Right. Exactly. Well, and just knowing that when we let go of that, it really allows God so much more. What's the word? It allows God so a much greater opportunity to use what we've offered him. Because when we're strangleholding it, then it's not free to be used.
It doesn't belong to God because we're keeping it.
Yeah, because we're keeping it. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's so important too for us to remember. So.
Well, let's change this up for the previous episodes of this series.
Yes.
I have been the expert. We are now going to make you the expert.
Ooh, nice.
We're gonna,
do I get a
get
t-shirt?
You to talk about this. And, you know, if there's some members here at St. Andrews or some members here in our community that are thinking, okay, so I'm all in. I understand what it means that God's called me into a relationship. I understand that he has gifted me, and this is what I understand about my gifts, and I understand that if I'm not seeing that this is a direct result of this baptismal covenant relationship that we have, that's all fine and good. But if I'm not offering it, you know, I'm like a dead car sitting in the driveway.
Yeah, the dead car
battery. If for folks here at St. Andrews, what are some opportunities they have to offer their gifts in service to Christ? Or maybe if they're not a part of our church, I think we have some listeners that aren't.
Yeah.
In their church, what would you recommend? Yeah. Hey, here's how you can find out what your opportunities are.
You know, I love what we get to do here through mission outreach. We do some great things here. But one of the things we have is that we feed the homeless every Thursday night.
Right.
Been doing that for a little over a year. It doesn't happen on site here. It happens actually at another church.
But the meals are cooked here on site.
Right, exactly. Meals are cooked here, and then we take it to really to be more available to that community. We take it to them. And so that's one way for us to offer our gifts. And the great thing is there's so many different things. You know, I've got ministers who, I mean, they are really good at being in the kitchen, but they're not serving the food to the homeless.
And I'm thankful for that because I am not good in the kitchen.
And we all know that I am not good in the kitchen, so I'm thankful for that too.
I wasn't going to call you out. You've confessed that, but I was just going to talk about me.
But I think it's really great too that looking for ministries that are behind the scenes or in front of people like that. So we've got people who serve the meals and interact with our homeless community. We've got people who connect with teachers at our partner schools in special ways and giving them special gifts, and the students at our partner schools. That's so important. We've got mission trip opportunities. We were just talking earlier, which I'm excited to tell people, we are in the beginning stages of looking at another trip to Costa Rica. And so there's international missions if you want to go and minister to people around the world. We also have great things within the church that minister to our church family. We are always looking for solid Sunday school teachers or people to lead small groups, people who feel a passion of hospitality to welcome people into their homes for a small group. But we also need people to teach children Sunday school and to be a part of our youth ministry team and our greeters and our ushers to welcome people when they come in the door. You know, there's really just, I think, countless ways for people to be involved. And that's why if you have identified your passion today and you said, have said, I'm super passionate about the internet ministries, we have ways for you to be involved in that. So, and if you are not a part of St. Andrews and you're thinking about your own church, then I would say, you know, talk with your pastor or pastors about the vision that they have and the direction that they're wanting to go, and then see where your gifts match up with that and just make yourself available.
Right. One, you know, as you're talking about that, two thoughts come to mind. Number one, as I listen to, here are all the opportunities we have, is our gifts and the offering of making ourselves available works best in community.
Yes, it does.
You know, again, I think of a time I was hosting a small group in our home, and we had some friends, and we said, would you come help? Because we knew they were really gifted at hospitality.
Yeah.
And that allowed them to use their gifts, and it allowed us to use our gifts, and it worked so well together.
It's so good.
The other thing I would share is, whether you're a member here at St. Andrews or another church, is just know if you go and talk to your pastor or a staff person who's in charge of a ministry, and you say, I really want to help, they may not have an answer right away.
Right, that's right.
Because we may get caught off guard, and we're probably going to say, well, what are you interested in? You know, which is an easy way of saying, what are you passionate about?
Right, right.
And so sometimes pastors have to think about these things.
Yep.
But the thing that we learn is if someone comes and talks, and, you know, and I'll use this example, that we have a person who is now on staff here at the church, but she came to me years ago and she said, look, we've been worshiping here and we're just not really connected. And I want to be able to be a part of this. I want to serve. And as we talked, I said, well, tell me the things you're interested in and everything. The next year, it's like we put her in leadership on one of our committees here at the church, but it was staff parish relations committee, and so she had to get off when she went on staff. But for her to come in and say, this is what I want to do, it's like, well, good. I mean, because we're always trying to identify those people and recruit people, but when people come up to us and say, hey, I really want to be involved.
Right.
we really work hard.
We love that.
I think any pastor works hard to say,
yep,
this is what I need.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, even if it's just like helping serve communion on Sunday morning,
yeah,
you know, somebody comes up and we didn't know they were supposed to, I am glad to sit down and sit back and say, here, you offer this to people. I'm good.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's so true. I love the idea too of just encouraging people to be honest, tell us what you want and what you're passionate about. So any other parting thoughts that you have for us?
Well, I do. It's not necessarily about this topic that we're on today, but recently we have been getting some feedback. We've been begging for over a year. Let us know if this is helpful. Let us know if this is good.
Right.
And we've gotten some very positive feedback, which is always the best kind.
We like that. Yes, we do.
But any feedback people could give us about our podcast on, hey, would y'all cover this topic, or hey, could y'all do a little more of this and a little less of that?
Yeah.
Don't talk about shoes and the weather, you know, whatever that might be.
I think they love it when we talk about shoes.
I hope so. I think it's endearing.
Exactly.
But anybody that's listening, if you can give us feedback, again, you can contact Stephanie or myself through our website. Our email addresses are on there.
Yeah.
We love to know this because we're having a lot of fun doing this, and we're hoping it's helping us achieve our mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And so your feedback is important to us.
Yes, that is so true. Thank you for that good word. And friends, I hope that you are enjoying your first month of 2020 as we look at going into month number two. It's exciting for us to be doing this together as a community of faith online, and I'm so glad that you are with us. I hope that you will join us sometime here on site at St. Andrews and check us out on our website, saokc.org. We would love, again, to get your feedback. And we pray for you. We are in prayer that God continues to bless you, that He guides you in this new year, and that He helps you to identify your gifts and helps you to put them into practice, because we know that your life will be abundant when you do that. So we give God thanks for you, and we hope that you have a very blessed week.
We're so grateful that you joined us for today's podcast for St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. We're located at 2727 Southwest 119th Street in Oklahoma City. So if you live in South Oklahoma City, Moore, Norman, Newcastle, Blanchard, Tuttle, Mustang, any of the surrounding communities, we would love to have you join us for worship. Service times are 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. We hope to see you soon.